Hi, everybody. How are we doing tonight? Woo! Well, guys, like you said, my name's Harrison Ross. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from people-pleasing, an addiction to pornography, a ton of control, I'm realizing, and now, most recently, prematurely entering on stage, but I'm working on it. So excited to be with you tonight. All right, here's what I want you to do. It's a weird way to start, but I want you to close your eyes. I know you don't know me. I know that might be a weird thing to do. If you're new, no one's gonna steal your stuff, all right? This isn't just a cult where we're gonna like suck the soul out of you. That's not gonna happen. Just wanna take you through an exercise, so close your eyes. Whether you're 19 years old or 67, close your eyes. We're gonna go on a journey together. I wanna take you to a place. I want you to sit back in your chair and I want you to picture that you are in your favorite burger joint. Very random, very specific, but you're there. It's different for all of us. Maybe it's a sit-down restaurant. Maybe it's a fast food joint. Maybe it's in your car secretly eating this greasy burger. I don't know where it is for you, but you're there. And I want you, with your eyes closed, to lift up your hands like you've got this burger. You're picturing yourself there. And you can smell it, and then you bite in. You've got this savory, sultry, delicious, amazing cheeseburger that you just chomped into. Maybe it's sharp cheddar cheese. Maybe it's pepper jack cheese. Maybe it's got crispy bacon or avocado. Or you've got this sauce that's now dripping down your chin. You're there with me. Yeah. Now, don't open your eyes. Some of you did thinking that I'm eating a burger. I'm not eating a burger. I'm just taking you to this place. Be there with me. Take another bite. Feel it in your mouth. Feel the way that it tastes. What does it make you feel? It is good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. I'm telling you. It's almost like we're there. Are you listening? All right, open your eyes. Where I am, oh, my goodness, that was a big bite.
Where I am is probably the same place you are. What a burger. Am I right? If you're from Texas, you can't not love it. My all-time favorite. We all have it our own way, but mine is a Monterey melt on Texas toast. And it does not get much better than that. And it is just as delicious as it looks. Some of y'all are in there and you're lusting after this burger. I know, because I can taste it. And it is a delight. It is so good. For me, food is a delight. Maybe that's not your thing, but I want to ask you, what do you delight in? What gives you delight? Maybe it's running, like Eric Liddell. When you run, you feel God's pleasure. God bless you, because when I run, I feel God's wrath. It's like God is like smiting me and punching me in the shins with every step that I take. It's terrible. Maybe you love it. Maybe you love to work out. Maybe you love music or travel. Maybe it's sports for you. You love to see when your team wins. Or maybe even better than winning itself is seeing the Aggies lose. You just love when that happens. Yeah. Whoop that, guys. You just got whooped by whoever. It's a joy. It's a delight. Here's what gives me delight. Sitting with my wife, hearing the laughter of my kids, nature, the mountains, a beautiful sunset, a good cup of coffee, sitting with friends around a campfire, wakeboarding on an early morning, hanging in a hammock. All of those things fill me with delight. What's delight? I looked it up because I was so intrigued by it. Delight means this. It means happiness, joy, fulfillment, extreme pleasure, satisfaction. What an amazing word. A word that's gotten watered down by people overseas in Great Britain. Would you like a little spot of tea? I would be delighted. It's like, who are you? This is talking about the most amazing stuff on earth. It's a delight, full of pleasure. I mean, kids get this. My kids get this. We just went on a road trip this last week, and my son, Hugh, is 1.5, and here he is sitting in a restaurant drinking sweet tea. That's delight. That's everything he's ever wanted in the world right there in his hands. And he would, like, hold it and just smile like this. It's giddiness. It's the giddiness of a young child or a young couple in love. It's elation, enjoyment, excitement. And just like my son did, kids get this easily. It's simple pleasures. It's the joy of Christmas morning, and it fills them with so much pleasure and goodness and happiness and excitement. They are delighted. Kids get delight, but adults get disillusioned. We had it once, and then we really don't believe it can happen again, and really what we start to chase is something else because we're not as easily delighted in those simple things. What I know about my own life and my friends and people is we may not see it in sweet tea as much, but we love delight. We want it. We desire it. We want to feel delighted in vacations, in friends, in a promotion, in leisure, entertainment, excitement, pleasure, whatever it is. We want delight, happiness, joy, fulfillment, extreme pleasure, satisfaction. Does that describe your relationship with God? Because most of us, believers or not, we know what it is to enjoy something, to really delight in something, to love something. We can enjoy pizza, we enjoy football, we enjoy sex, whatever. But you put this word delight in front of God and it means next to nothing. We can read it in the scriptures. We can understand maybe conceptually of what that means, but we do not experience it in our own lives most of the time. Do you delight in God? Do I delight in God? I don't. If I'm honest, most times I do not delight in God. I want to. I would see it in the scriptures. I'd see this word come up over and over, especially in the Psalms. And so I looked it up. I started to seek out, what does this mean? Because I don't see this in my life. I don't see this in my relationship with Jesus, but I want to. And the good news is, I can, and so can you. And how can we? We're going to look at tonight, but it starts with the truth that God is delighted in you. Just like Noah said, God's crazy about you. He is madly in love with you more than you will ever understand, ever, until you stand before him. And because of that, because of his delight in us, we can delight in him. Psalm 37:4 is where we're gonna camp out today, and it says this: delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What a verse. In high school, I had to pick a life verse for an event that I had, and I didn't have a life verse. So I was like, all right, well, I'll just grab my Bible and flip through, see something underlined that makes me sound wise or spiritual. And I saw this one, and I was like, oh, yeah, love Jesus and get what I want? I'm in. Life verse, found it. So then I'm out on the football field, and they're like, and here comes Harrison Ross, life verse, Psalm 37:4. And I'm like, yeah, that's me, delighted, baby. I had it so wrong. I totally misunderstood that verse. I took it for what I wanted it to be. I flipped it around, and I think most of us do. Too often, we look for our desires to bring us delight. But God has created us to delight in him, and he will fulfill our desires. I'm gonna say that one more time, and it's on the screen. Too often, we look for our desires to bring us delight, but God has created us to delight in him, and he will fulfill our desires. Our desires are never gonna satisfy. They will never fulfill us. They were never meant to, but it is only our fulfillment and satisfaction in Christ, our delight in him, that will give us fulfillment and satisfaction. But the lie we believe is that if we chase our desires, we'll find delight. If we chase what we think we want most, then we will find pleasure. So what do I desire? The first thing that probably comes to mind for you or me is good food, money, success, sex, pleasure, fame, whatever it is. For most of my life, I pursued the lust of my eyes. I pursued the lust of my flesh, and I was addicted to porn for over 12 years. Every day, I would give into that. I would give myself over to my flesh. And I experienced that when we chase our desires, especially the desires of our flesh, it leads us to despair, not to delight. It leads us to be slaves of sin, not set free to enjoy the goodness of God. So when it says the desires, it's not talking about what I want. It's not talking about what I think I need, but what our deepest desires are, the desires of our heart. When the scriptures talk about the heart, it usually talks about what is core to a person, what is their innermost being, what's essential to who they are as a human. The desires of our heart, God promises, if we delight in him, he will fulfill. To be loved, to be accepted, to belong to something, to have purpose, to matter, to be wanted, not rejected, to be forgiven. Do you want that? I do. Most of us in this room do. That's why we go chase pleasure. That's why we go chase our desires, because it's rooted in these ultimate desires core to who we are, but we feel it most presently in what's going to solve our circumstance or get rid of our fear or get rid of whatever feeling. And so we go chase a fleeting desire, thinking that that will give delight and pleasure, and it only leaves us empty. Whatever we pursue for pleasure is what we will worship. Whatever we chase after, thinking that we will be fulfilled, is what we will make ultimate. The Westminster Confession says this: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What's your chief end? What is ultimate for you? Is it your job, getting married, your desires, your pleasure, your success? Is it to enjoy God? For most of us, most days, probably not. But that's what you're made to do. That's what God has created you for. That's what God has designed you for, is to know him, to love him, to be loved by him. And it is only there where you find fulfillment and satisfaction and fullness of pleasure and joy. I asked a friend of my dad, who he's known for a little while, who's been following Jesus for 42 years. This guy has known and walked with Jesus for 42 years. That's a long time. So I just looked at him and I said, why? And without hesitation, he said, because I've never found anything better. And I've tried. Before I knew Jesus, I chased alcohol, I chased women, I chased myself, I chased business success, I chased all the things of this world, and it left me empty. But a life in Jesus is the most exciting and fulfilling life I've ever had. I was stunned. I'd never heard anybody say that. I've been in the church my whole life. And I walked away from this conversation going, that's not me. That's not the way I would describe my relationship with Jesus. I follow Jesus because I know it's good for me. I follow Jesus because I know that I should, because he tells me to, because I know that I'll benefit from it. For me, following Jesus is like eating kale or changing the oil in my car or eating fish oil to get omega-3. I don't care about omega-3. But somewhere in People magazine, they're like, everyone needs to have omega-3. So take these fish oil pills and we'll be good. Who wants to eat fish oil? It's disgusting. Stop doing it. It's like, it'd be like taking a fish and just trying to squeeze it in your mouth. It's like, I love this fish oil. You don't. Forget omega-3. But I do it because it's healthy or whatever. My relationship with Jesus most often is like that because I think I have to. But can you imagine if I had the perspective of this guy who said, I've never found anything better. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen, I've ever been a part of, I've ever had in my life. It's unbelievable. That would change my life. My perspective, my attitude, my desires, my relationships, everything would be different. My marriage, my parenting, my job, my money, my time, my purpose, because I see Jesus as the best there is, as the ultimate, as the chief end, as my delight. It would change my entire life. But too often, we think that our desires will bring us delight. But God has created us to delight in Him, and He will fulfill our desires. You need to catch this, it's key. Because the object of our delight is crucial, it's critical. It isn't what we get from God that gives us delight, it is God Himself. It is not the things of God that give us pleasure, although they are good, although they are a blessing, but we get to be in relationship with God, and that is where our delight is. We pursue pleasure thinking that it's going to give us delight, but our pleasure is to pursue Christ. Our pleasure, our delight is in God, not what we get from Him. I've been with my wife now for almost 12 years. We've been married for 7 this fall. We dated for 5.5 years. And when I was dating her, I just loved hanging around her. Thought she was cute. More than cute, she's a babe. But I thought she was fun to be around. I laughed with her. I enjoyed going on dates with her. I just loved hanging with her, so I asked her to marry me. Got down on my knee, gave her a ring. We did the whole shebang. Now we have 2 kids and we're married for 7 years. I didn't ask her to marry her. I didn't ask her to marry me because I wanted a tax write-off. I didn't ask her to marry me because I wanted to come home and have dinner made for me every night. I didn't ask her to marry me so that I could have babies. That's ridiculous. I didn't marry her from what I can get from her. I didn't marry her because I had a California king bed and it was just too big for one person, or it was just socially acceptable, or I love to pay twice as much for meals when I go out to eat. I married her because I love her. Because she's amazing, because I cherish her, because she's a treasure, because I delight in her. I don't enjoy my marriage because of all the things that happen because I'm married to her. I enjoy marriage because of her. Our delight is not in the things of God. It is God Himself. That is the experience of enjoying God. Finding pleasure and satisfaction in God is delighting in God Himself. Psalm 63:3 says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, is better than life. Your love for me." God's love for me and all of you in here, the psalmist says, is better than life. Better than the breath I have, better than my relationship with my wife and my kids and my job or any other years I could ever live. His love for me is better than all of that. Do I believe that? No. Most of the times I don't. John Piper asked this question. If you could choose between all the pleasures of this life or God, which would you choose? I know what I should choose, but I know what I would want to choose. And I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't, because He had the same opportunity. And He chose me, not the pleasures of this world. And because of that, I can find pleasure in Him. The enjoyment of God is enjoyment and pleasure in the person of Jesus. And because of Jesus, because of His sacrifice on the cross, I have God. And not only do I have God, I have His Spirit in me. And so what I have is the same that Jesus had. I have a relationship, an intimate, indwelling, abiding relationship with the Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that I can live in the same intimacy that Jesus had because His Spirit dwells in me. That's crazy. And it is a delight. Jesus reconciled us to God so that we might enjoy Him, to know Him, to love Him, to be loved by Him. Jesus didn't die to just let us go to heaven, although that's a great byproduct. Jesus didn't die to just keep us out of hell. Jesus didn't die just so that my sins could be forgiven and I didn't feel guilt and shame. All of those are unbelievable blessings of God. But Jesus died to give me God. The greatest delight of my life, the greatest treasure I could ever have, God himself. I'd rather chase porn. I'd rather chase the things of this world because I'm far too easily pleased. But when I change my perspective and I choose to not find and delight in my desires, but to delight in God, I have everything I ever wanted. I have acceptance. I have love. I am wanted. I am forgiven. I have purpose. I am belong to his body. I am a child of God, and it is delight. And what's amazing about this truth is it's not dependent on my circumstance. It's dependent on my Savior. And so wherever you are, whether you had the best day of your life or the worst day of your life, whether you're going through inventory or amends or this is your first day or your last day, whatever your life circumstance, you can choose to delight in God and you will have everything you ever wanted and ever needed. So I want to ask you a question as we close. How are you falling more in love with Jesus lately? What is stirring your affections for the Lord? I asked this recently of my community group. So I said, hey, what's stirring your affections for the Lord? It's something I've been chewing on a lot, I heard recently. So they're going around and they're like, oh, well, I'm listening to a lot of worship music. It's really nice. Oh, I've just been reading my Bible daily. I'm like, yeah, okay, great. Thank you. So am I. All of those are great. So encouraged by y'all. Way to go. But I go last. And I was like, how am I falling more in love with Jesus lately? I'm not. I'm doing all those things because I have to, I think, because I think I should, not because I do it out of a love for him or to increase my love and affection for him. When I come home from work, the garage door goes up and I open the door and I've got two little boys, and what happens when they're playing with a toy, they chuck the toy, they jump off the couch and they run and they go, "Dad, Dad," with open arms, and the little one just goes, "Argh," and he just runs over as best he can. Even the little girl dog is like, "Argh, argh, argh, I wanna turn," and they just come racing to me because their father's home and they wanna be in his presence. Whatever joy they had, whatever pleasure they're in the midst of a Hot Wheels car or Paw Patrol or whatever, it doesn't matter because they're with their father. And I don't love Jesus like that. I don't love my father like that. I don't run to him with open arms. I cling to my toy and look to him and go, "I'll come in a little bit. I'll come when I need you." But Jesus loves me like that. Jesus came for me, he came for you, so that I could delight in God, so that I could have everything I ever wanted or desired. God gave his life for you so that you can give yourself to him. So the application tonight, you're sitting there, you're like, okay, great, sounds good. How do I delight in him? You just enjoy him. Doesn't sound like much, but it is a perspective shift. It's thinking no longer that you have to appease God or find his approval, but just to enjoy him, to delight in him, to indulge, to fully give yourself to God. Being consumed with something starts with tasting it, with giving yourself to it, with having a little bit of it. And that is when you are consumed. What the scripture says in Psalm 34:8 is, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Feast on it, eat it, drink deeply, and you will find the goodness of God." It's a promise. And guys, most of us have chased all kinds of other indulgences. And so what are you chasing? What are you finding delight in instead of God? Maybe it's big, maybe it's small. If it's not God, then you're missing out on life. Because fullness of pleasure is in Him. What are you giving yourself to instead of God? Your pleasures, your addictions, your desires, your fleeting glances, whatever it is, it will not satisfy, and we know it. So come, as Psalm 34 says, come, taste and see the goodness of God and delight in Him. Chomp into it deeply. Have your mouth so full of His truth, so full of abiding relationship with Him that you can barely talk because it's so good. The New Testament equivalent of delight is rejoice. Psalm 37:4 says, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice and delight, they're synonyms. But rejoice is so much different. Delight is this inward like, I love it, I love it, I love it. Rejoice is like, yeah! Woo! Yeah! Yeah, 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 yeah! It's this elation and delight. You're like, yeah! Rejoice! Man, I miss out on delight, but when was the last time I rejoiced in God? Yeah, God! Woohoo! Just now, felt great. Man, and guys, the way we can rejoice is worship. When we stand here and sing songs, if you believe in the name of Jesus and your life has been redeemed by Him, standing and looking at words on the screen, whether you're the worst singer or the best singer, it is not delightful to go, on the fire, love you, come exalt His name together. Guys, you are with the people of God in the presence of God. Rejoice. And so we are. We're going to. The band's up here, and we're going to sing a psalm, Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We're going to remind ourselves it is the pursuit of God that gives us pleasure. The pursuit of Him is our pleasure. And there's a part in there where it goes from the low, like, man, this is nice. And it's a Shane and Shane song, and so they belt it. And I would love for you to scream it. If you know God, scream and remind everyone in this room, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is he who hides in Him. And let us sing and rejoice together. I'm gonna pray and then the band's gonna jump in. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross so that we could know you. Thank you, Lord, that we can choose to fix our eyes on you and find delight in God. I pray that we would and not be distracted by the delicacies seemingly of this world, but would feast on the truth in your word and the person of who you are. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.